Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 1, he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." He said, "I want you to know." Now, by the way, this church was filled with spiritual gifts. Matter of fact, it came behind. He said, Paul said, "You come behind in no spiritual gift." You had the gifts. Some of them have gifts of knowledge. Some of them have gifts of wisdom. Some of them gifts of tongues. Some of them gifts of healings. They came behind in no gifts. But he said they were ignorant. They were ignorant. And he said, "I don't want you to be that way." He said there, he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now these are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." Now I want you to see there is an emphasis on this portion of Scripture of the Spirit, not on the gifts. Oh, there's a mentioning of gifts, but that's not the emphasis. The emphasis is on the Spirit. "Now these are the diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all." People say there's not a Trinity. You see it right there in those three verses I read. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all in one. "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit." Now I will back up and just say in verse number 7, he says, "is given to every man to profit withal." He's talking about every believer, not every person. He's talking to believers here. And he's talking about every man has been given the Spirit, he said, to profit withal, to profit the church. "For to one is given the Spirit, the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To the another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally or individually as he will." And so I'm going to stop the reading there. But in verse number 7 it says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." And so just that statement, the manifestation of the Spirit. But in this particular verse, remember this, or particular chapter, the first verse, remember Paul started out not dealing with their spirituality, but dealing with their carnality. He took 11 chapters to deal with a carnal church, the sin within the church. Gifted church, but carnal. You very rarely ever see a church called the Corinthian Baptist Church. Because if you know anything about your Bible, you'll never, would never state your church as a Corinthian church. Never. Because the church was a carnal church. But yet it came behind in no gifts. It was spiritually filled. And so you could be filled with all kinds of gifts and spirits by the Holy Spirit, but yet be a carnal Christian. And so when you look at it, they say, "Well, the gift of tongues is a sign you have the Holy Spirit." Maybe, but you still could be carnal. Be filled with, like I said, carnality. And so when you look at these things, he had to deal with their carnality before he came to the 12th chapter to deal with spiritual things. And even with the spiritual things, they were dealing with them and boastful and prideful about them, and they were out of order. And so he was trying to teach them about the ignorance that they knew or did not know about the gift that God had given them. And so I want to talk to you about, just out that statement, about some ignorances that people have before we get into the sermon. The first thing I put, there are many people, when it comes to gifts, they are ignorant about their own gift or gifts, either casually or they're carelessly ignorant. Casually
are carelessly ignorant. In other words, if I were to ask you what your gift is, I don't want you to state it. I don't want you to state it out loud. I don't want you to respond. But if I were to ask you what your gift was, many of you respond, I don't know. Why? If you've been saved for any length of time, why don't you know? You say, I would say it's because a lot of times it's because of casualness. And that's where most of us are. A casual Christianity. We don't know what God has in His place He wants us to serve in the church. I'm not talking about a place of service. I'm talking about the spiritual gift God's given you to help you to further the work of God. And by the way, this church is the work of God. To go out to be evangelized, to go out beyond these walls and reach a lost and dying world, to lead them to Christ, to bring them to church, to edify them, to build them. People use their gifts to build them up in the faith that they might grow in the work and in the Lord, to go out and make disciples and do the same. That's what the whole work of God is all about. And so many people do not know because of casual carelessness. And they're ignorant in that way. There's also, can I say this, that does not mean that you quit serving God until you figure out what your gift is. So I don't want you to go there. Number two, there is a willful and a prideful ignorance. A willful and a prideful ignorance. It may not always be pride, but it's sometimes willful ignorance. A lot of times people, they're not going to change their thoughts, their beliefs, because based on heritage, based on tradition, based on family, based on whatever it may be, they have their willful thing. This is the society in which we live in today. We live in a society today where everybody are opinionated, but very few people have convictions based on the Word of God. We ought to do and move and have our being in the Lord and be following His will, not our own emotional desires, not our own personal will. And so many people are willfully ignorant. They'll stay in a church because their mother and father were in that church. They won't leave that church. That church may be doctrinally wrong. I heard one preacher said, he was talking about that, and he said, well, my grandmother's buried in that cemetery out there. He said, if your grandmother could get up and leave, she would. And by the way, if there's a church that you're in and it's doctrinally wrong, I don't care if it's your family church or whatever it may be, if they're doctrinally wrong, you ought to get up and leave that place and saturate it with your absence, not with your presence. And so many people are willfully ignorant. They will not move. And so I hope you're not there, but many people are in the day in which we live. They won't take the Word of God for their own self. And then can I say this? Many people are demonically deceived. They're ignorant because they're blinded. Matter of fact, these were here before. He says that they were Gentiles led astray by these idols. Now, an idol is just a piece of stone, piece of wood that's been decorated like an idol. But the worship was demonic. They heard voices. They had leadership. The devil always counterfeits that which is real. Do you know the devil has his church? He has his religion. And he has his people that are following. And it could be sound just like what I'm preaching. But it's not with full truth. It's just the error. That's the closest thing, the closest danger we come to is the truth that's so close, or the error that's so close to the truth, but yet it's not. And that's the reason why it's so important we ought to know. And so many people are deceived. Can I say this? Many people, when I talk about demonic deception, they either emotionally, they felt something. How many people you spoke to and emotionally, they say, well, look, you just don't know what I felt. How about personalities? There are personalities on media. There are personalities that you may know that people follow, and they'll follow religiously all the way to the gates of hell because they're following a personality instead of the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. And so many people, like I said, are deceived. How about an experience? An experience. I've talked to people before. They've had experience at a hospital or in a some sort of hospital room that God, and they saw all these lights. And I'm not saying they didn't see them. But they have to say, it's my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and Christ alone, or is it an experience? If my salvation is based on experience, I want to tell you something, that's going to change from day to day, from time to time, and moment to moment. And so many people are ignorant in those ways. And so I hope you're not there. And so that's where he said to them, and like I said, he gave the emphasis on the Holy Spirit. And so in that seventh verse, he talks about the manifestation, but the manifestation or the enlightening of the Spirit. And so I want to deal with these things, if I can, very quickly. We need, first off, the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer, and I'm a believer, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. I cannot do what I ought to do without the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about to live the Holy Spirit. And I wrote down the absolute necessity of the Holy Spirit. Look, if you would, verse number 3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And so when we look at there, you see that some people are filled with a spirit, and yet they curse the name of Jesus. I didn't say the Holy Spirit. I said with a spirit. That's the reason why I'm opposed to a Bible that takes away the Holy Ghost or takes away the Holy Spirit, because there are lots of spirits that are not holy. And these people, before they were saved, were following demonic spirits that were preaching and teaching and prophesying in tongues and supposedly cursing the name of Jesus. Do you know that there are records, and on record, that people have went to places, churches that talk about prophecy and tongues? And a man I remember specifically listened to take by Dr. Curtis Hudson. And he said, he was talking about the gifts. And he said that he went with a friend of his that could speak several languages to a church that was speaking tongues. Now, I'm not saying everybody speaks in tongues is demon possessed. That's not what my point is. But he said there was a man in that particular church began to speak in tongues, and that man knew his language, and he said he was cursing the name Jesus Christ. It can, just because somebody is filled with a spirit and controlled by that spirit, does not mean it's the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly why we need the Holy Spirit of God for discernment. We need God's discernment. Not only that, we see in this verse, but we also need the Holy Spirit to declare the heart, really, or the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to know who Jesus Christ is or declare who He is. Look at verse number 3 again. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So no person can say that Jesus Christ is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. Now look, people can say Jesus Christ is Lord. A lost person can say Jesus Christ is Lord. Flippantly. But you take, there are recorded people that when they were persecuted in Fox's Book of Martyr of Faith, when they were persecuted for their testimony of Christ, when they were persecuted, burned at the stake, some way slaughtered or killed for their faith, were asked to denounce the Lord Jesus Christ, several of them, if not many of them, said, Jesus Christ is Lord. How did they say it? They said it not of their own power, but they said it the power of the Holy Spirit. I remember the girl, the shooting years ago, a Columbine shooting in Colorado. And supposedly that man came in there, I guess, to kill all those young people. And the one girl that was a student asked her to denounce her faith. And yes, she declared that Jesus Christ is Lord. How did she do it? She did it by the Holy Spirit of God. And the only way you and I will ever know and have the help to know the truth is we need the Holy Spirit of the living God. You need to be a born-again believer so you're not led astray in error. And even as a born-again believer, you need to grow in faith. And so when you look at these things, I thought about the testimony. I want you to turn to John chapter 16 with me. John chapter 16. I'm thinking about just going away from my notes altogether. Some of you may say, I thought you already went there. But in John chapter 16, Can I say this? Without the Holy Spirit of God, you cannot know you're lost. You cannot know you're lost without the Holy Spirit of God. Look, if you would, in John chapter 16, in verse number 7, he says, well, I'll read verse number 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. Now, this is Jesus, the Lord Jesus, talking to his disciples before he goes to the cross, was buried, and rose from the grave. And he's talking to them. He said, it's expedient. It's, in other words, it's advantageous for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. He's saying, unless I leave in this physical body, unless I leave, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, will not come. So he said, it's necessary for me to leave. And so sure enough, he resurrected from the grave. Look what he says. Verse 8. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. I wanted you to see it. I've quoted it many times from this pulpit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Now I want you to look at this little word he says, reprove. You know what that word reprove means? It means convict. That's what it means. He says the Holy Spirit convicts a man of sin and of righteousness. Judgment to come. Now he may have his faithful witness or a witness. He may have the gospel message. But it is the Holy Spirit of the living God that imparts the understanding to the heart, to understand it. And from that point, it is our will to say yes or no to Jesus Christ and to His Spirit. And that's when a person grieves the Holy Spirit. Eventually, that Spirit will quit knocking, quit asking. But a person cannot know. Can I say this? You and I have a testimony about the Lord Jesus Christ, about His Lordship. And so the Bible talks about we need His Spirit. We cannot know the Savior without the Holy Spirit. In Mark chapter 16, I'm going to turn there. You can if you want to. Matthew chapter 16. The Lord Jesus Christ asked His own disciples. He asked them this question. He says, verse number 15, in Matthew chapter 16, verse number 15, He asked His own disciples, He says, but whom say ye that I am? But before he asks that question, he says, who do people say that I am? Who do people say that Jesus Christ here on this earth is? And this is what they said. Some say you're John the Baptist. John the Baptist has been beheaded. He said, some say you're Elijah. Elijah is the great prophet of the Old Testament. He said, some say you're Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he said, some people say you're prophets. But the verse I read to you, he said, but whom say ye that I am? Now listen to what the response that Peter gave. He says, verse number 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Listen to what the Lord Jesus said in verse number 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood had not revealed unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. How did Peter know how to confess that Jesus Christ is what the Bible says? By God Himself, by the Holy Spirit of the living God. Turn, if you would, to 1 John, all the way back in your Bible, 1 John, chapter number 4. I don't even know if I have that one marked. I don't. But I want you to turn back to 1 John, chapter number 4. I told you there are a lot of different spirits, but John chapter 4, in verse number 1, he said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. That Jesus Christ is God incarnate in the flesh is of God. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is God the Father in the body of Christ when He was here on this earth. And so look, if you would, in 1 John chapter 5. He says, verse number 8, there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. Agree in one. A person can say that Jesus is Lord. But I can tell you what he will not say. Now he may tell you that in a lie, but he cannot say that Jesus Christ is Lord. He will not say all three. He will not say that Jesus Christ is Lord, that the testimony of the cross of salvation, that you and I would believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, rose from the grave, and that's how a man's saved. And he will not testify that the Word of God is the Lord's Word, is God's Word. All those three testimonies he will not do. He may do one, but he won't do all three. Now, if a person says, oh, I'm saved, but I don't believe that Word, I want to tell you something. That's contrary to Scripture. The Bible says these three agree in one. There's three on earth, in heaven, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and there's three witnesses on earth that all agree in one. And you'll testify that Jesus Christ is what the Word of God says. You'll testify that I believe the Word of God, and your testimony of salvation will be what the Word of God states. Those three witnesses will be there. But you and I cannot witness or testify or understand or know anything without the power of the Holy Spirit. It is absolutely necessary to have the Holy Ghost. You and I have to have the Holy Spirit of the living God. And that's where you see the emphasis in there. And I put down, without the Spirit, the Christian has no power. Without the Spirit, the Christian has absolutely no power. In these verses, if you want to turn back with me, 1 Corinthians, where we were in verse number 12, those verses I read, and for sake of time, I won't read them, but he says in verse number 7 all the way to verse number 10, he gives a list of gifts. Those lists are not exhaustive. Matter of fact, there's another list in Romans chapter 12. We'll turn in a minute if I have time. There's another gift in Ephesians chapter 4. There's also another list given in the 28th verse of this chapter that are different. If you were to total them all up, there are 19 different gifts. But that's not to say the Holy Spirit could not give whatever He wanted. But those are the gifts that God has given to the church. Some of them are assigned gifts. We'll get into that. Look, that's not my message here. But in these portions, you see, he says in verse number 7, we'll just read it, but verse number 8, for by one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. And so you look at these things, you may see, in a sense, you may see your gift. But I do see three things here. One, I see at least one of my gifts here, I think. But I do know this, when you got saved, and you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you get one, at least one gift. At least one. It's a birthday gift. My birthday, Lord willing, in the next couple of days. We're celebrating that. But you get a birthday gift from the Holy Spirit. At least one gift. And that gift is to profit the church. Profit with all. The body of Christ. And so at least you may see your gift here. I say this, another thing you may see in the sense that not only your gift, but you may see a gift or basically a list, possibly one of your gifts, you may see it. But let me just say this, because I've kind of lost myself in notes, but I will say the last thing, the most thing. Nine times in these verses, 11 verses, the Spirit is mentioned. Nine times. And so when you look at it, the emphasis is on the Holy Spirit, which I've already mentioned. My mind kind of works mechanical. I'm not saying I'm a mechanical engineer, but my mind works mechanical. And so I thought about an illustration to try to make the application. Is electrical system. We have an electrical system, a lighting system in here. But let's just suppose whether in here or in a new facility. In an electrical system, you have breakers. You have breaker panels. You have conduit. You have wiring. You have switches. You have bulbs. You have fixtures. You have all these things. It may be the latest things. It may be the greatest thing. Maybe the latest technology out there. But I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter what you have as an electrical system. None of it will work without the circuit being switched and the power of that electricity to make it function. And so when you look at these things, one may have the spirit of wisdom, spirit of knowledge, and have all these gifts. But unless you have the power of the Holy Spirit, you can't do anything. Let me tell you this. For me to preach and for God to use me, I need a spirit. For me to pray for God to hear me. I need a spirit. For me to witness, I need a spirit. I can't tell you how many times I've witnessed and shared the gospel, but there's been no power. There's power in the gospel. I plant the seed, but I can tell you it's night and day. It's like living in darkness versus light. And the Holy Spirit of the living God witnesses, and He's there with you. I witnessed to a man one time, I told you before, and it was just amazing. It comes back to me. His name was Walter. And we were in a little room, and I witnessed to him at lunchtime. And I cannot tell you, I have never presented the gospel easier and more clearer in all my days. I knew the Holy Spirit of God was doing it through me. It was the only Spirit of God doing it. Oh, it wasn't nothing as far as hooky spooky. It was the power of the living God. I led that man to Christ, but it was God that saved him. He went through that construction site telling people, that man told me how to be saved. It wasn't shame of God. Who did that? The Holy Spirit of the living God. I don't have time to go through the other things I'd like to say, but I will mention them briefly and maybe mention and preach tonight on them. But one, how does a person know? How do they know what their gift is? That's where most of us were. How do I know? How do I know? Well, there's another list given in Romans chapter 12. It gives a list of all different things. Not all of them, but another extensive list. But he says at the beginning of those verses, if you won't turn there in Romans chapter 12, I'll read it. If not, he says, verse number 1, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then he goes on down, if you want to look, verse number 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. He that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. He gives another list there of gifts. But he's saying, he's showing an illustration. How do we get to that place? Verses 1 and 2. We have to be willing to surrender our will to God's will and willing to obey. What does God want? God wants a full surrender of His children, and He wants full obedience. I'm talking to saved people right here, not lost people. I'm talking to saved people. How do you know God's gift is? The first step that God says when a believer gets saved, follow the Lord and believer's baptism. Now, I don't know you personally. I know some of you. But I don't know how many of y'all have been baptized. If you've been born again and been saved, you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. That's the first step of obedience. God says, hey, we ought to be a part of a local church. We ought to be faithful to God's house. We ought to do the things that we know to do. And as we study God's Word, God reveals more of His will. We obey that will, He reveals more of that will. If we don't obey the will that God has already revealed to us, He will not reveal more. Why would God make me a faithful witness when I'm not willing to witness? Why would He empower me to witness when I will not witness? I have to be willing to surrender and obey for God to meet me. You say, I want to know my will. It's as simple as surrender, to absolute surrender. Nothing in my hands I bring, but fully to the cross I cling. I'm following the Lord. And whatever God shows me, I obey Him. It's what we ought to do. And as we obey, the known God reveals to us what it is He wants us to do. And His gift, He may give you one, He may give you more. Many times people are serving in the gift that God has for them, and yet they don't even know it. You say, why is it important to know it? It's important to know it. If God called me to preach, I ought to be able to be a better preacher, so I need to learn to study and grow and how to develop that gift so I can help others to do the same. The same is with you. But the way we know, surrender, obey. The last one is, for what profit? That verse number 7. Profits the whole body. This church and every other church is hindered because one of God's children, if not many of God's children, will not grow and use the gift God's given. Paul, in this chapter, Romans, the 12th chapter before that, he said, I could give myself accursed. He said, I could wish myself accursed to die and go to hell. If I could die in that place, that the Israelites, the Jews, my people, might be saved. And that's what leads to this verse. He said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your body a living sacrifice, not dead, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. So you'll be a prophet to everyone you meet in the body of Christ. And so how necessary it is for the Word of God and for the Spirit of God, we have to yield to it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.